If you're a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility and your machinery isn't working right, Grainger knows you need to understand what's wrong as soon as possible. So when a conveyor motor falters, Grainger offers diagnostic tools like calibration kits and multimeters to help you identify and fix the problem. With Grainger, you can be confident you have everything you need to keep your facility running smoothly. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting six crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus four biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-lickin' good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
You're watching a Highwire Media podcast.
Welcome to the True Crime Never Sleeps show. Today's episode of Murder Monday, we dive into the murder at sea. Before we do that, give us your thoughts on this case in the comments section below. As always, thank you so much for watching and listening. A lot of people spend their entire lives working towards one special chapter, and that is retirement. It's the point where we've finally accomplished our goals, have hopefully saved enough money to stop working, kick back, spend time with family, maybe travel a bit more, and sleep in past 8 a.m. Which, I don't know one elderly person that sleeps in past 8 a.m., but that's what they say retirement is. It's the time where we can look back and go, all that hard work has finally paid off, where we can finally have a little peace and quiet after years of grinding away to provide a good life for ourselves and our loved ones. But not everyone is willing to put in the years of hard work to get their retirement. Some people are willing to take shortcuts to get there, even if it means killing the people who have worked hard for it and taking it as their own. So let's roll back the clock to 2004 and take a trip to Newport Beach, California, where 57-year-old Thomas Hawk is living with his wife, 47-year-old Jackie. Now Thomas has spent most of his years working really hard for his family and his country. He is a Vietnam War veteran who worked as an Air Force security police officer, a firefighter, and a probation officer. He was also a bodybuilder on the side, so not exactly someone you want to mess with. But from everything I read, it sounds like Thomas was as sweet as could be. He was a family man at heart, someone who busted his butt working hard to save for his future and his two sons during his first marriage before Jackie, and those two sons were Ryan and Matt. But it wasn't just his family that he was invested in. It's said that Thomas was the kind of guy who cared about the people he worked with. As a probation officer, he really took an interest in the people he was helping and wanted to see them succeed with this second chance at life. He believed people were capable of change and improving their lives for the better. This was a philosophy he also applied to his own life. After things didn't work out with his first wife, Thomas moved to Arizona, where he eventually met Jackie in 1986 at a friend's chili cook-off. And at that time, Jackie was working as a supermarket checkout girl. And she was also temporarily in a wheelchair after a bad motorcycle accident. Now, Thomas fell in love with her quickly, as did his two teenage sons at the time, who said Jackie just brought out the best in their dad after their divorce with their mom. She was the perfect match for Thomas. They both loved the outdoors and going on thrill-seeking adventures, taking life by the horns, embracing it fully. And just a few years later, the two were married. Thomas continued to invest his money and create a little nest egg so he could retire early. And by October of 2002, that dream came true. Jackie and Thomas sold their house in Arizona, moved back to California, where they settled in Newport Beach. I mean, dream retirement. And they pursued another dream that they always had for themselves. By the way, you gotta have a lot of money to get a nice house in Newport Beach and retire. I mean, it's expensive. Really expensive. So they move there and they buy a boat and begin sailing. Now this wasn't just any boat. This was a 55-foot yacht that cost them about $300,000 at the time. They got the money, a yacht. Yeah, my big dream. They named the yacht Well Deserved. They tricked this boat out with the latest technology and spent their time going from Mexico to Catalina Island off the coast of California. As Thomas's son Ryan put it, quote, being on water for them was a solitude. It was seeing the curve of the earth and seeing the sunset fall right behind it every single night. And that's how the couple spent the next 2 years of their life, venturing out on the open waters, enjoying all the fruits of their labor. But come 2004, there was a big change in the best possible way. So at this point in 2004, Ryan, who is Thomas's 27-year-old son, and his wife Nicole welcomed their first baby, and this would be the first baby in the family. And Thomas and Jackie were over the moon about becoming grandparents for the first time. The only problem was Ryan and his family were back in Arizona, and Thomas and Jackie wanted to be closer to spend more time with them. It was something that meant more to them than cruising the coast of California. So that fall, they actually put the boat up for sale so they can give back to Arizona. So Thomas put a small ad out for the yacht in a boating magazine, and by November, they had a bite. Around November 10th, Ryan, this is his son who's a father, spoke to his father on the phone and learned they had finally found a buyer. The sale was expected to go through over the next few days. So 5 days later, on November 15th, Jackie and Thomas got on the well-deserved boat for one final trip out of Newport Harbor before they sold it. They actually were just going to sail over to Catalina Island. Now Jackie called her friend around 4:06 p.m. that day saying, hey, we're out to sea. But after that, the couple seemed to go radio silent. A few days passed as people began to wonder, why were both Jackie and Thomas's phones off? No one had heard from them since before that final trip they took out to Catalina on the 15th. So that's when Thomas's friend Donnie called Ryan, Thomas's son. He told him, hey, I'm supposed to help your dad pack up some of his stuff and move back to Arizona. I've been trying to get in touch with Thomas for the last day or so. I'm not getting an answer. Have you heard from your dad? Now, Donnie and Ryan knew it was unlike Thomas to just stand someone up like this, which is when Ryan called in his uncle Jim, a retired police chief in Carlsbad, California, not too far from Newport Beach. Both Jim and Donnie, Thomas's friends in California, meet up sometime around the 17th. They go down to the dock in Newport to see if the boat is there and if they can find any sign of Thomas and Jackie. Now, one of the first things they notice is the well-deserved and its dinghy are back in the slip, but the dinghy is not tied to the dock properly, and its motor is still in the down position in the water.
If you're a custodial supervisor at a local high school, you know that cleanliness is key, and that the best place to get cleaning supplies is from Grainger. Grainger helps you stay fully stocked on the products you trust, from paper towels and disinfectants to floor scrubbers. Plus, you can rely on Grainger for easy reordering, so you never run out of what you need. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done. If you're a custodial supervisor at a local high school, you know that cleanliness is key, and that the best place to get cleaning supplies is from Grainger. Grainger helps you stay fully stocked on the products you trust, from paper towels and disinfectants to floor scrubbers. Plus, you can rely on Grainger for easy reordering, so you never run out of what you need. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-licking good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only.
Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
So if they know something about their friend Thomas, he is super careful about boating safety. He would have never left any of this stuff like this on his own. Now, on board the well-deserved, they don't see any sign of Thomas or Jackie, but they find that all the tarps on the deck have been removed, so nothing is covered. It's just sitting out in the open. Again, this is not something Thomas would have ever allowed. And weirdly, there's a towel hanging on one of the portholes. And even more alarming, a lot of Thomas's things he kept on his board, like his surfboard, expensive radio, a few other items, all seem to be missing. So after seeing this, Jim, Thomas's brother, Uncle Jim, leaves a note for the prospective buyers of the boat because he figures they're going to come looking for this soon enough because they're supposed to sell it. And since he doesn't know who they are, he wants them to know, hey, the owners of the boat haven't been heard from. If you've seen or heard from Thomas or Jackie, let us know. He also thinks maybe it's possible that the buyers were one of the last people to see Jackie and Thomas before they disappeared. Like maybe the buyers had already come. Well, sure enough, a few days later, one of the buyers actually calls Uncle Jim, and she says she and her husband paid for the boat in all cash. They don't say anything about when they last saw Jackie and Thomas, but she kind of rushes Jim off the phone pretty quickly to tend to what sounds like a baby in the background. Well, Jim's like, maybe I can get into Thomas and Jackie's banking account and see if they received the cash for the boat, knowing they would have probably deposited it right away. But there's been zero activity on their banking accounts since the day they were last heard from. There was no big deposit at all. So they start calling around to local hospitals. They're like, maybe they sold the boat, got the cash, and then from the time they got the cash, before they can get to the bank, something bad happened. They call hospitals, they get nothing. So finally, the day after Thanksgiving, November 26th, Jim and Ryan hear that someone has accessed the couple's accounts. Finally. But whoever it was tried to withdraw money, not deposit, the boat money. And even sketchier, this transaction originated in Mexico. So at this point, the family's like, okay, we know they're a couple, they're grown adults, we think something bad happened here, it's time to get the police involved. So that afternoon, 11 days after Jackie and Thomas were last heard from, they officially take this information to the Newport Beach police and file a missing persons report. And as they start interviewing those closest to the couple, they realize there was something a bit odd about the buyers of the Hawks boat. I mean, obviously we haven't gotten there yet, but I don't know how people continue to think that they're going to get away with this kind of stuff. It's like trying to rob a bank now and trying to get away with it. Like, good luck. You're going up against local police, the FBI, anybody that's investigating. I mean, a couple pulls out an ad saying they're trying to sell the boat and they go missing and the boat's still there. It's like, okay, not taking care of a property. Like, obviously something's going on. So as police are looking into it, they obviously are going to try to track the buyers down. Because now, since they've had the buyers on the phone with family, they do believe these are the last people to have seen them. So they track the couple down who supposedly bought the boat. And the couple's names were Skylar and Jennifer DeLeon. Apologies if I butchered his name. Now apparently, friends who spoke to Thomas before he disappeared said that couple replied to the article he put up in the boating magazine, and they first met around November 6, 2004. So this was about 8 days before the Hawks were last seen. Now keep in mind, Thomas was a former vet turned police officer turned probation officer. I think it's safe to say he maybe could sniff people out, maybe see their intentions easier than other people. And when Thomas first laid eyes on the husband, 29-year-old Skylar, he thought there's no way this person can't afford this boat. They were asking $435,000 for the yacht. Plus, Skylar seemed to know absolutely nothing about boats. So Thomas's thinking kind of seems like a scam. Like, there's no way I'm going to sell the boat to these people. So this is when Skylar explains to Thomas that they're a former actor who made some money working on the Mighty Morphin Power Rangers TV show. So Skylar and the wife had made some good money and they thought the boat would be a good investment. So Skylar calls Jennifer at this point and asks her to come down to the dock to meet the Hawks. Check out the boat. She does. Short while later, the pregnant Jennifer comes down with her young daughter, Haley. Jennifer and Jackie begin bonding over the new babies in their lives. And after a longer conversation, feelings start to change about the couple. Jackie and Thomas see them as just a young and hungry couple like themselves, eager for investments and adventures. In fact, they feel so good about them that they even waive the customary good faith deposit. So they agree to meet up again the following week to hand off the funds and sign the paperwork. After hearing this story that Thomas had talked to friends about, police think they have to get the couple in here and listen to their side of the story. And Skylar, the husband, seemed pretty cooperative. They say, yeah, they met back up with the Hawks around November 15th after the original meeting. Skylar gave them the cash for the sale of the boat. Skylar even showed the police the bill of sale for the boat, and it's fully equipped with Thomas's signature, fingerprints, and even a stamp from a notary. Skylar even said, yeah, the whole thing went off without a hitch. The Hawks gave us the keys and drove away, and that was the last time they ever saw the Hawks. Well, Skylar even tells the cops, hey, we actually had a friend with us, someone who was there during the transaction and saw the whole thing go down. You can call him. He's a guy named Alonzo. But first, the police speak with Jennifer, the wife, and she says, "We're concerned as well. We've been trying to get in touch with the Hawks to tie up some loose ends with the sale, especially because they left a bunch of their belongings on the boat, and now we don't know where to send them." So police think everything is going kind of normal with this couple, until Skylar admits something while they're talking to the police that kind of catches them off guard. Skylar admits that the cash they used to buy the boat was drug money that they were trying to launder. Now, I have no idea why this guy would just openly admit it. Excuse me. Maybe he just assumed he's going to get caught, so he assumed also maybe just to throw them off the scent. Yeah, like, I think maybe, like, if I admit to something, if I admit to this, and they'll just investigate this, and we can move on so they don't think I'm murdered. Because then I don't seem suspicious, because I'm willing to admit something. If Skylar hadn't done this, the police probably would have just sent the couple on their way and stopped looking into them, because they had a notary. They had the signature, and they had a friend who said they witnessed everything go down. That little comment, the police was like, well, we just need to keep them on our radar, because obviously they're not too opposed to being involved in shady things, especially when police go searching the well-deserved for more clues. So the day after the Hawks are reported missing, on November 27th, 2004, police board their yacht, and one of the things they find on the yacht is a receipt from Target. Now what's interesting is, it's dated 2 days after the Hawks were last seen, and it's for things like trash bags, bleach, cleaning items. Yeah, you know where this is going. So the police go to the Target that was listed on the receipt, and they ask for surveillance footage from the date and time on it. They didn't find Skylar or Jennifer at the Target, though. They find Jennifer's father walking around shopping instead. So they questioned Jennifer's dad. He said he was sent on an errand by the couple that day. They told him they needed cleaning supplies for a volunteer job at their local church. But the timing of all this, and the fact that they found the receipt on board one of the last places the Hawks were ever seen, that sets off alarm bells for the police. I feel like it's a good idea, and I know it'd probably be a hassle, and there's a lot of people who buy this stuff without being shady. But any time a weapon, like an axe or something that cuts anything, trash bags, bleach, and rope is bought together, like, the store should be able to, like, mark that. And then if there's ever an investigation in the area, it's, like, alerted, and it's like, oh, hey, let's check out the camera at this store. Who came through here? Who bought this stuff? Because, I mean, how many people are really buying rope, trash bags, bleach, and, I don't know, a murder cleanup kit every day or something? Maybe a decent amount. I understand for, you know, there's other, you know, uses for these supplies. But I mean, and I'm sure it'd be kind of near impossible to track it, all of them. But hey, maybe they can do something like that eventually. So at this point, police are like, we're going to start digging into Skylar's past. And this is when they find out that Skylar is not the person the Hawks thought. So Skylar had a pretty rough childhood. He had been around drugs a lot since their father actually manufactured and sold them. But Skylar was a kid who had big dreams. As you know, Skylar wanted to be an actor. And he was cast in the TV show Mighty Morphin Power Rangers. But not as a regular cast member like Skylar would tell people. He was a background extra in the show a couple of times. Excuse me. So telling the Hawks that this is where the money for the boat came from and not from drug money wasn't true. Instead, when acting didn't become a full-time thing for Skylar, he actually joined the Marines, where they ended up going AWOL, got a dishonorable discharge, and it was shortly after that that Skylar met Jennifer Henderson. Jennifer was a hairstylist and devoutly religious. Skylar was working as a mortgage lender at the time when the two fell in love, and together they moved into a unit on Jennifer's family property. Skylar got her pregnant almost right away, and they soon got married. But Skylar was not a great influence on Jennifer, as you can imagine. The two wasted away all their money. They racked up massive debt. They found ways to swindle people to try and repay loans that they had taken, all while chasing dreams that they didn't necessarily deserve, including a new one Skylar had come up with recently. Get on a boat, sail to Mexico, and spend their days living out on the ocean as a family. Now, obviously, that's where the Hawks came in, but the police knew something Jackie and Thomas didn't. Skylar was $87,000 in debt with a child on the way, and a convicted felon. And at the time of the sale, Skylar was on probation for armed robbery. Now, knowing all this and that Skylar admitted to using drug money to try and purchase this boat, police have a really bad feeling about what actually may have happened that day. Did he think that they weren't going to look into him and check this out? I mean, it's so easy to be like, oh, he has a felony on his record. Also, Skylar had told police something else that was kind of damning. Alongside signing the boat over to them and watching them drive off into the sunset, Skylar said the Hawks gave him durable power of attorney because they were helping them secure a vacation home for them in Mexico. This is a myth. Excuse me. This is a massive red flag to police. Why would a couple sign over the power of attorney to someone they had met twice, who was buying their boat? This is ridiculous, especially for a home in Mexico, when the whole reason they were even selling the boat and leaving the place they had chosen to retire was to get back to Arizona to be with family. So none of it was really adding up. But here was Skylar showing them paperwork with a witness, a notary, and signatures from the couple. Though, as they looked closer at this document, something stood out to investigators. Jackie had signed her last name as Hawk, not Hawks. They start to wonder, was this intentional? Did Jackie sign her name like that, hoping Skylar wouldn't be able to access their funds because of the discrepancy? Or was she forced to sign it under duress? With all this incredibly sketchy information, the police feel a lot of pressure to find the Hawks, and quickly. Or, at the very least, gather more information and begin building a case against Skylar. And about a month after the Hawks disappeared, the police get a lead that really gets the ball rolling. In December, Ryan Hawks goes to the media. Remember, this is his son asking for help from the police on his parents' whereabouts. And that's when a retired couple living in San Miguel, Mexico, hears about the case. And the couple says, hey, there's a car that's been abandoned next to the mobile home by us, and we're pretty sure it's your missing parents' car. So on December 16th, 2004, police knock on the door of that mobile home, and sure enough, person says, oh yeah, someone just gave me this car back on November 26th. And when they show the person in the lineup of suspects, this person in Mexico, they pick Skylar out immediately and say, yeah, that's the person who gave me this car. Okay, so now Skylar has been insisting this entire time they had nothing to do with the Hawks' disappearance. Skylar says, oh, I've never been in that car either. But now that seems to be a lie. So the police impound the car, scan it for DNA evidence. Meanwhile, they speak with Skylar's probation officer and find that he had asked for permission to leave the country around the same time that November. So with that information, police have more than enough to get Skylar in custody. They arrest him the following day, on December 17th, but not for murder. They arrest Skylar for money laundering admission, because it's hard to prove murder when you don't have a body. But the police don't plan to stop there. They keep on digging, knowing it's only a matter of time before the truth surfaces. So after the arrest, they search the home and they find a bunch of items belonging to Jackie and Thomas in that home. They find Jackie's laptop, the video camera, the batteries to both of their cell phones, personal documents, their IDs, and they also get results from the DNA analysis on the Hawks car and confirm that Skylar's DNA was all over the inside of the vehicle, proving that Skylar had lied about being in the vehicle. So they track down the notary Skylar used to verify the power of attorney and boat ownership documents. They call her in for questioning. Her name is Kathleen Harris. Now, this wasn't Kathleen's first time sitting in front of the police for this case. Jared had been called in a few times and insisted each time that she saw Jackie and Thomas sign that paperwork in front of her. But after Skylar's arrest, her tune starts to change. She admits to police she actually didn't notarize them in person, but instead, after the fact, in a hotel room, in fact. So she was bribed or paid for it 100%. Yep. Kathleen confesses to being paid $2,000 to backdate the documents. So the next person up is the supposed friend and witness to these document signings, Alonzo. Skylar told the police that Alonzo was with them when they went to pick up the keys for the boat. So police go searching for Alonzo, bring him back in for questioning, and find that he's actually fled down to Mexico. So they start making a deal with Alonzo. Come back to the U.S., we'll make sure if you are found guilty of a crime, the death penalty won't be on the table. And shockingly, he agrees. In March of 2005, Alonzo comes back to California, where he finally tells police what had actually happened, that day between Skylar and the Hawks. Alonzo and Skylar met years ago back in prison when Skylar was an inmate and Alonzo was working as a jailer in Seal Beach, California. Apparently, the two stayed close even after Skylar's release. So when Alonzo received a call from Skylar asking for a favor in the fall of 2004, Alonzo listened. According to Alonzo, Skylar told him, "Hey, I'm working as an international hitman now, and I need help getting rid of a dangerous couple named Thomas and Jackie Hawk." Now, of course, we know this is a lie, but it seemed to be enough to get Alonzo involved. The truth was, Skylar was just looking for a get-rich-quick scheme and didn't care whose life it cost. So Skylar replied to the ad Thomas Hawks put in the paper, assuming the couple who was selling their $500,000 yacht likely had money in other places as well. Skylar met with the couple around the 12th, and when Thomas seemed hesitant of Skylar, they called Jennifer to come down with their daughter to make it seem good, earn the trust. But there was something Skylar had noticed that day. Thomas Hawks was a big guy. Remember, he was a former bodybuilder. Skylar was going to follow through with a plan, which was to take the Hawks out to sea, get them to sign their riches away, and then leave them for dead. They were going to need reinforcements other than Alonzo. After that meeting, Skylar recruited a gang member named John Fitzgerald Kennedy to also help with this entire scheme. And no, not the former president that was assassinated. With the Hawks agreeing to sell their boat to Skylar, they planned to meet back up on the 15th to give Skylar the keys. And when that day came, that is exactly what happened. Skylar didn't grab the keys and watch the Hawks drive off in their Honda like Skylar had told them, or told police. Instead, Skylar introduced Alonzo and John F. Kennedy, yes, that is the gang member's name, to the Hawks, saying they were business associates. So all of them boarded the boat, set out into the sunset just for like a little ride before the sail of the boat. And that's when Jackie made that final phone call to her friend that day at 4:06 p.m. saying, "Hey, we're out at sea," and it would be the last phone call she ever made. So it is heartbreaking because once everyone was out in the open waters to sell this boat, things got ugly fast. John pretended to be seasick, went down to the stateroom on the loaded deck, Skylar followed, and minutes later, Thomas went down to check on them, leaving Jackie alone with Alonzo on the main deck. So while down there, John and Skylar ambushed Thomas. They began punching him using a stun gun on the 57-year-old former bodybuilder. They handcuffed him and put duct tape over his mouth. Jackie, who heard this commotion below, was then overpowered by Alonzo, who did the same exact thing. He then brought her down to the stateroom, heartbreaking and horrible, next to her husband. The two were then held at gunpoint and told they signed a bill of sale for the yacht, power of attorney document, and gave their passports to their bank accounts. They would be dropped off on the border of Mexico, somewhere safe and sound. So they removed a handcuff to let each of them sign and to roll their fingerprints for the notarization. But Thomas, being a former parole officer, didn't believe for a second these people were just going to let him and his wife go. So when this handcuff was off, he fought back. Except the Hawks were overpowered in the end. The three assailants tied the Hawks to the 66-pound anchor and sent them over the side of their own ship. Then Skylar and the accomplices sailed back to the port, stole a few more things off the boat. Skylar walked away with a signed fortune in their hands. So after getting the confession from Alonzo, police have more than enough to charge him, Skylar, and John F. Kennedy, two counts of first-degree murder. They charge Skylar's wife, Jennifer, with murder as well, even though in the story, she's not actually on the boat that day. By the way, police learn after going through the murder couple's home that this wasn't the first time Skylar had committed murder for some cash. Inside Skylar's house, investigators discover a business card. It was for a Los Angeles police officer who had been working with the Mexican police and was looking into Skylar over the last year. Turns out, one of Skylar's former fellow inmates, a man named John Jarvey, was murdered in Mexico a year earlier. His throat was slashed ear to ear. What police didn't know, until after unraveling the Hawks case, was how closely Skylar had been involved with that murder earlier. Apparently, Skylar had sold John on a business proposition after they were released. John gave Skylar $50,000 in cash and then went with Skylar to Mexico, where the deal was supposed to take place. Instead, Skylar pocketed the cash and John never returned to America, going missing. Now, hearing about the similarities and how this man and the Hawks had died, police feel confident they can also charge Skylar with the death of John Jarvie. So when the trial begins, the state actually is like, "Hey Jennifer, we'll give you full immunity if you testify against your husband." And she refuses. She goes on trial in November 2006 and is found guilty of first-degree murder and sentenced to two life terms. I can't understand why you would refuse full immunity. Like, even she was pregnant at the time and had a daughter. Like, why not just take the deal? Because obviously your husband doesn't love you as much as you think he does. But meanwhile, Skylar had just no problem throwing her under the bus. Skylar says, "Oh, it was Jennifer's idea in the first place to kill this couple for the money." After the trial in 2008, jurors found Skylar guilty of all three murders, Thomas, Jackie, and John Jarvie. Skylar was given the death penalty. John F. Kennedy was also found guilty. Kennedy was also found guilty of the Hawks' murders and sentenced to death. And Alonzo made a deal with the prosecution, testifying in Jennifer, Skylar, and John's trials. Alonzo pled guilty to two counts of voluntary manslaughter, was sentenced to 20 years behind bars. But there's one final twist in this story, one that most people never saw coming. While waiting on death row, the 45-year-old Skylar made a confession. They wanted to steal the Hawks' money to pay for gender-affirming surgery. Now, the only reason I'm ever including this is because why do you get to live your dream life in prison? Why do you go live your life killing people? They don't get to live out their dreams of being with their grandbaby. It has nothing to do with gender. Everything to do with the fact that the motive for this murder is now fulfilled. It's mind-blowing and frustrating. Because of Skylar, Thomas and Jackie will not have the future that they worked hard for. They will not get to carry out their days quietly as grandparents. They will not get to watch their kids and their grandkids grow old, because Skylar took that away from them, all to fulfill his own hopes and desires. And that is the murder of Thomas and Jackie Hawk. Let me know your thoughts on this case in the comments section below. And of course, give us a thumbs up if you like our video. Hit the subscribe button down below. Hit the bell notification button to be notified of future videos. And if you want to support the channel, you can buy us a coffee at buymeacoffee.com/TCNS or scan the QR code you see on the screen. As always, thank you so much for watching and listening. We'll see you next time for more True Crime Never Sleeps.
If you're a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility and your machinery isn't working right, Grainger knows you need to understand what's wrong as soon as possible. So when a conveyor motor falters, Grainger offers diagnostic tools like calibration kits and multimeters to help you identify and fix the problem. With Grainger, you can be confident you have everything you need to keep your facility running smoothly. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-licking good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.